we will get to where we want to go in just a moment. I guess you could turn, though, to the first one that we will be Acts chapter 20. It'll be Acts chapter 20, the first verse that we'll look at as far as looking at ourselves. I'll be giving you quite a bit of other passages of Scripture. As we look at the standing firm during the storms of life this morning, we talked about the right foundation and building on the right foundation. To be wise, you obey God and you receive Christ as a Savior, and your house will stand. You'll be in eternity with Him. At the same time, because the Scripture says this, "For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I've laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." What is that foundation? Paul worked on that foundation. "According to the grace of God which is given to me as a wise master builder, I've laid the foundation." What is the foundation that he laid? He says at the end of that passage to the church at Corinth, "Other foundation can no man lay. I laid" what? All about Jesus Christ. There's the foundation. In fact, it goes on and says in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 20 and through 22, "And are built upon the foundation," here's the foundation, "of the apostles and the prophets," the word of God, "Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom also are building together for a habitation of God through the Spirit." Everything's being built up, and it's the word that we see, the word there, edification. You see, as a believer, you must take heed how you build upon that foundation. We are little Christs. We are to walk even as He walked. He is that foundation. And as he talks, and as Paul talks about in that passage of Scripture, talking about leaders, and which can be applied to every believer, he goes right into then the judgment seat of Christ, to take heed what you build upon, and whether you build on those things, gold, silver, precious stones, or wood, hay, or stubble. And so we realize that Paul emphatically writes, he says in 1 Corinthians 14:26, "Let all things be done unto edifying." He's talking about gifts there. There are more important gifts than other important gifts, but he says, here's the whole purpose and the motives behind ministry. It's that you build up, let all things be done unto edifying. He's saying, no matter what you're doing, some things are more, but this wouldn't be edifying, this would be edifying. This might edify something else, but this might edify Christ. So as we look at it, this important truth of edification, what I'd like to do this evening, since it tells us to let all things be done unto edifying, I'd like to go through Scripture this evening on the word edification and do a word study just on the word edification. And I believe what we'll find here is a philosophy of edification that we need to first of all find its meaning. And then we'll see what's the purpose of it. And then as we practice it, that when then the storms of life for men is born unto trouble as sparks fly upward, Job 5:7 says, you'll be able to stand firm because the storms are going to come. They're there, they're gone, they come and they go, but they're going to be there. And so there's things that are, as we're talking about building up, that our house won't be blown over. Storms of life are going to come. And so as we think of the judgment seat of Christ, what is it? So first of all, as we look at the philosophy of education, we need to come up with what is the meaning of this edification. We already have the idea of what it is. It's because we've used it in different places with different words where it's talking about building fitly framed together, building together. Take heed how you build thereupon. There's different forms of it. There's, of course, the verb form of edification. And I could give you the original language, the word for it, but it won't mean a thing to you. I mean, it's the word for house or building up a house. the ideas and the nuance of it. And so that word in its form meant building up a house, or the idea would be when one is in public worship, the paramount concern must be how believers should be built up, not how someone or a small group may selfishly benefit by the public of it. You see, in Christian worship, individuals ought to be concerned how they can spiritually benefit others by what they say or do. So we have to realize that, first of all, the noun form of this word edification is used 18 times in the New Testament. Primarily means building or being built up. Or you could say it's strengthening in one's faith. Growing, strengthening in one's faith. The noun form of it is used 39 times, and then one other time it's used, thou shalt edify, so 40 times, so 58 times it's used in the New Testament. We realize that this is God's word. When God says something, something's on his mind for you and me. It's what he wants us to know. And would you agree with me? If he talks in its context and uses this word edification 58 times in the New Testament, do you think that there's something he wants us to know about it for our own selves, to accomplish what he wants to accomplish while we're here in this world? Well, if you don't come up with the answer is yes. He does want us to. And so we must realize that this verb, when it's used in the verb, it means, again, to build up, to encourage, to nurture one's faith, to build on something, to build further. One man said this, it occurs in the New Testament in 1 Corinthians 3:10 that we just mentioned to you, for building on a foundation that is already laid with all the responsibility that it entails. So you see, the word that we started out with in 1 Corinthians 3, where it says, take heed what build upon, and kept going on all of those aspects, it's the same word that we see here, of edification. But it was translated build up in many places. And it's translated different places. We're going to see one where I didn't look at other translations, but the word embolden is found in 1 Corinthians. We're going to go over it in a little bit. But the word embolden is actually the word edification, exact same word. I mean, embolden, sort of most of us, you know, what do you mean embolden? It's edification. And we'll look at that in its context a little bit later. But what we have to realize, again, is this edification means to build up, the act of one who promotes another's growth in Christian wisdom, in piety, holiness, and happiness. It's a building up of a heavenly body. So we come up with, realize what that philosophy, the nuance of that word is, with it used so many times in New Testament. That means that there has to be a purpose for edification. So I'd like to just, for us, for the next few moments, before we go to the practice of it in practicality in our own lives, and look at those four walls that might make up a sturdy home, a sturdy house, so that the storms come and we won't get blown over. We know that when there's a storm, if only one wall of your house is up and a storm comes, you're in trouble. There's a much better chance of it standing up there when there's four. And of course, we're talking about a house that's built on the proper foundation, Jesus Christ. And so for us to build on that proper foundation, we need to act as he acted, 1 John 2:6 says. We need to behave that way. So, and then Paul says to the church at Corinth, and he tells them about leaders with a practical application to the believers, you take heed how you're building on the foundation. I'm building this on that foundation. But he says to the other leaders, other pastors, you take heed how you build on it. It's very important how you build on that foundation, what you're teaching others and trying to build up the local church and other people. And the same goes to the believers that are part of that called out assembly. It's very important what you are building up, what you're building on the foundation of Jesus Christ and the apostles and prophets. And so he goes on, and we're going to look at the different verses. I think you'll see through truth of Scripture what his purpose is. First of all, the first purpose that I see is for edification is for the church or the body of Christ. If it is, do you think he'll tell us about that? Well, of course. 1 Corinthians 14, verses 4 and 5 says, "He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church. I would that ye all speak with tongues, but rather that ye prophesied. For greater is he that prophesied than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret, that the church may receive edifying." Notice what it says, that what may receive edifying? Everyone together, that the what? The church will receive edifying. He goes on and says, "Even so ye," in verse 12, "for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the," you fill in that last word, "church." Acts 9:31 says, when Paul was saved, and then he was converted, and he was going after the church, and then he came back, and they were going after him, and they sent him away. And then the Bible says that the church had rest, and listen to what it says. "Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified." Who were edified? What was edified? The church. Ephesians 4:16 says, "From whom the whole body fitly joined together," the body of Christ, the local church, and universal, "and compacted by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love." What's the itself? The church. And how are they supposed to be building up the church? In love. We speak the truth, but we speak it in love. So we see that every individual believer is to stay close to Jesus Christ, faithfully using what gifts he's given as we build up and do it in love, the spiritual growth. And we've got to realize that spiritual growth in the church does not come from forces outside, but it comes from the inward heart that we have given to our Lord Jesus Christ, the body of Christ and his plan. So first of all, the purpose of edification is the church, the body of Christ. Now, who's in that called out assembly? You tell me, who's in the called out assembly? It's called people. Just in case you're wondering, it's called people that make up the called out assembly. Because the church is not the building. The church is the who? The people. The called out ones. Those that are genuinely saved. That's the church. In that local area and across the world. And so we see that it also, the purpose of edification is for others. Listen to what Scripture says, Romans 14:19. "Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith," it says follow after, "wherewith one may edify another." And he's talking about another of the same kind. You see, edification is that term, erecting a building, building people up. So Paul saw the building up of Christians in the faith as most important. Remember, he says, let all things be done with building up. And so we must realize that it was something in which every believer could be part of, no matter what where he is. Every one of you could be part of that, building up. And so what he's saying is edification is for others. 2 Corinthians 12:19, again, "Think ye that we excuse ourselves unto you? We speak before God in Christ, but we do all things, dearly beloved, for your edification." Others' edification. For the people in the church, your edification. "Wherefore comfort yourselves and edify one another, even as ye also do," 1 Thessalonians 5:11. So it's what? It's for the people of the church. It's for others. It's also for self. The purpose is for the local church and others. And since you and myself were part of that, it's for others, and we're sort of getting a double whammy here, aren't we? Really, we're getting a triple whammy because we're part of the church, we're the people, and we're self. But let me show you how it is to build up ourselves. First of all, Scripture tells us in 1 Corinthians 10:23, "All things are lawful for me." In other words, there's many things that are permissible for me, things that I could do. They're fine. Not sin. You can do them. But he then goes on and says, "But all things are not expedient." In other words, they're not all profitable. A lot of things you can do, they're fine. But for the cause of Christ and for what his purpose for you is, they're not all profitable. And then he goes on and says, all things are lawful to me. They're again, all things are lawful for me. They're permissible, things that I can do. But all things edify not. Not everything builds up what you're doing. And so that's why we always say for ourselves, because notice he says, all things are lawful for who? For me, Paul says. And then he goes and he says but all things edify not. In other words, there's things that aren't going to edify me. That's why it's a great question. When you are wondering, maybe we call them gray areas, or maybe things that I wonder whether I should participate in or do, a great question to ask, well, will this build me up for the cause of Christ and make me more like him? Am I built up? Am I edified? The foundation is here. Am I getting strong? Will it strengthen me, encourage me? And a lot of times, you know what that will do? That will keep you from doing something that you shouldn't be doing. Well, it also in self, the Bible says in 1 Peter 2:5, ye also as lively stones, you, self, are built up a spiritual house. You see, edification is for self. And then lastly, not only the local church, others, and ourselves, but here's one that sometimes we don't really, it's to build up our consciences or our senses, which our consciences would be involved in. Here's what that word embolden comes in. But may I first of all start out by saying that doesn't have the word build up, but it has the idea of conscience. Paul said this, herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense towards God and toward men. So what is one of the things that Paul desired and worked hard at in his life through the power of the Spirit and grace in his life? What would it be? According to this, he says, and herein, in Acts 24:16, and herein do I exercise myself, I do this, in obedience to him, to have always a conscience void of offense to God. Always a conscience. I want to have a clear conscience, always void of men. That's not offense to God. And then also he says, and offense to men. I don't want my conscience to be an offense towards God and offense towards men. Now here's where the sense, we see the conscience coming in. Now what does that have to do with, how do we know for sure that one of the purpose for edification? Well, he uses an illustration here so that we can know. He says in 1 Corinthians 8:10, for if any man see you, which has knowledge, sit at meat in an idol's temple, and shall not the conscience of him which is weak be emboldened to eat those things which are offered to idols? The word embolden is the same word edification. In other words, he would say, shall not the conscience of him which is weak, the weaker brother. That's the context of 1 Corinthians 8, the weaker and stronger brother. Which is weak, be edified to eat those things which are offered to idols. You see what he's saying is a stronger brother is going and doing something that will cause a weaker brother that might not know and understand or doesn't have the full understanding of the scriptures to do something that would defile his conscience. Because in this case, it was the idols that were offered to meat. This person was in the idols and he realized those idols to meat. And you know the meat wasn't the issue. Meat's not the issue. It was the idols that you're offering that to. And so the whole idea then was he is conscious. He got saved and realized, oh, that's so wicked because he got involved in that. And so he wouldn't what? He went by and didn't see, he saw a stronger brother that he saw as being stronger. He saw him eating in the temple with the idol. He didn't see maybe what all he was doing, but he's eating there. And it weakened his conscience. Well, maybe that's all right, but yet it takes his conscience. And so we've got to realize that we are, whatever we do with anyone, remember Paul said, no matter what it is, there's all things that are permissible, but maybe it might not be the best because it might cause this brother to stumble. Because they don't know yet. I've been in cases where I remember vividly one place in Houghton Lake when we were there in charge of a adult party, and I was putting it together, and we were going to a certain place, and it served liquor there. And we had our own room and home, everything. It didn't, we weren't having a party in the bar. And they just, and in fact, I don't know if they had a bar, but they did serve liquor. And he had a thing in his life that, right at that point in his life, wasn't an old Christian, but he says that he wouldn't go to a place that served liquor. And as I talked with him, I realized this man used to be, had been alcoholic. And he told me that I will walk down the same side or of a street that has a bar, and I'll smell that, and it will do something to me that I almost can't control. And so I realized, guess what I'm going to find? I'm going to find a place that doesn't serve liquor. That's not easy either. But why? Is it wrong to go to a place that might sell liquor? To me, that's another thing to cover at another time. I think the atmosphere has a lot to do with it. But I'm saying it's called worldly. But we need to realize that the edification is we are building up, and we have to realize, what are we building up in our consciences? What are you doing that's helping someone else's conscience that might not understand, might not be where you are? And sometimes there's people, it goes the opposite way too. Sometimes there's people that think they've been in God's word all these years and different things, and they think that if you do this, you are a wicked Christian. You're just disobedient. And honestly, I'm not going to use illustrations tonight, but I could tell and show you where really that one that thinks they're so, they're the weaker Christian. Because they're not in God's word. They're not looking at what the word really says. They've been told this, and this is the way that's been traditionally taught to them, instead of looking into God's word for themselves and saying, this is what God's word says. And so we've got to realize that the purpose of edification then is for the church, for others, for self, and for our consciences. So far, would you say this edification word is pretty important? Look at what it's for. It's for all of us. He's given it for us to build up. For us, why is this word edification so important? Because we're building up for the cause of Christ. He's using us, a called out assembly in a world that doesn't know Jesus. Do you even wonder why they don't? There's nothing different. I could give you polls after polls that say the church doesn't look any different today than the world. One that I remember, seminary professor at a Christian university. Now, I would have to say not the circles that, the seminaries that I would recommend, but a seminary professor that preached, that would be evangelical about believing those about it's all right to live with someone before marriage. 50%, I think it was. These are people that are studying for the ministry. Would you say that our consciences are seared, but yet they're to be edified for the cause of Christ and what he says? So let's get into the practical now. What's the practice of edification? So as you need four walls in a house, I'm going to just apply it to this, not saying that this is what it says. This is not taken out of context of Matthew here. But I'm using it as for us to realize that a house building a foundation, that you need four walls. I was talking with Dan earlier. He says, well, are you putting a roof on it? And I said, I realize the four walls are more sturdy than a roof on, but it's talking about a foundation, and we're going to heaven, so we don't need the roof. All right? The four walls. I remember at the camp helping so much. I'm not a good builder. I don't know much about it at all. Tell me what to do, and I'm a big helper. And there's so many buildings that I've helped build there at the camp, different things that I helped. There's one thing that they would have me do. One of our caretakers, not the Stantons, he built so many homes, and he was in charge of it. But there was one other man at the camp that he was afraid of heights. So they would always, when they're building a building or an addition, they would call me for two things. Help take the truss up the top, up on the roof. Help take the truss up and tightwalk it, because I wasn't afraid of heights. And then, so I'd be the one that would toenail them on the end, because I wasn't afraid of heights, and toenail I could do, as long as I got my toe out of the way, you know. And I could do. And so we realized that I saw so many come up, and I would see how they'd have to brace the first wall when you put up. You have to put braces there until you put up the what? The second wall. Put braces up, and the third, until you put all four of them together. Even then, sometimes they put braces until they put the roof on. But really, it's not until they put the truss on. They then have to have the roof, but the truss that sturdy it all up. But for our purposes then, a four-walled house is pretty good. And so I'm just going to come up with four things that I think that edification it shows us about where we need to practice this edification in our life. These 4 points that will help us, I think, in the storms, it won't be blown over. We'll have the storms. But I think if we practice these things, some of the things we won't even realize are storms, maybe. We'll be so busy serving and wondering what God just says, oh, yeah. Wouldn't that be wonderful? So first of all, you're probably there, unless you've gone back and forth of verses that I've seen. Acts chapter 20. Look at verse 32. Paul is leaving now Ephesus, and he's got all the preachers and pastors and leaders of the churches together, and he's saying goodbye to them and encourage them. He's given them something very important for them to carry on in the ministry. And we see the first thing that he says about building up on the ministry, the first wall. Look with me let's start at verse 28. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Spirit hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he's purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. In other words, what are they going to do? There's going to be false teachers coming. There's even going to be people in the church that are going to pull people from the church to follow them. I'm going to start a church right down the road here. And he says, they're going to come. How are you going to handle that? Verse 31, therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to, there's our word, edification, which is able to build you up and to give you inheritance among all them that are sanctified. It's going to build you up, give you inheritance, and sanctify you. What is he saying? The first one that I would say, if you're making notes, or if you think, is number one, commending yourselves to the word of his grace. We need to be, Paul is saying to the church and the leaders there, you need to first of all realize all these things might happen, but you need to commend yourselves to the word of his grace. Dedicate yourself to God's word. Be devoted to God's word. The word commending to the word of God, the word commending there is a word that has the idea in the original, which this is what it would have meant to them. When they said the word commend, well, they wouldn't have said the word commend. That's our English word. But when they would say this, what they're really saying is you place beside whatever it is. So here it says, and now, brethren, I commend you to God. So he's saying, I commend you. I'm placing you next to who? God. Or another word would be deposit. Deposit with one. I'm depositing you right there with God. I'm committing you to God. I'm giving charge as a deposit to God. And what's he say? And now, brother, I commend you to God and the what? The word of his grace. I'm giving you God and to his word. And the only way you're going to be able to take these false prophets, these false teachers, the storms that come in, is by staying in God's word, staying right alongside God and his word, depositing yourself right there. For he says there that you'll be built up. If they would cultivate a knowledge of God and his word, they would become strong. God's words has the power to protect them, he was saying. It had strengthening power to build them up, securing power to guarantee their inheritance and sanctifying power to set them apart by God's grace. You see, study of the Word is the other foundational pillar of the ministry, since it's the Word of His grace that is able to build believers up and to give them the inheritance among all those that are sanctified. In fact, Peter says in 1 Peter 2:2, like newborn babes, in 1 Peter 2:2, Peter echoed Paul's thoughts also. Like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the Word, that it, by it ye may grow in respect to salvation. Because the church was the pillar and support of the truth, the Word of God. And so he's requiring that the leaders know the truth, for the truth, the Word, is the source of all spiritual growth. And so he says, that first wall you've got to be commended to God's Word. You need to spend time in God's Word. You need to be saturated. However you do it, however you can do it, be commended with God's Word and His grace. And not only stop there, though, but as you're being built up, what will help you in this Word of God and your devotion really is you need to be built up with prayer and thanksgiving. Listen to what Colossians 2:7 says. Rooted and built up in Him, there it is, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith as ye've been taught, there's the Word of God, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Prayer and thanksgiving. The Word of His grace is able to build you up, and you'll grow in grace. And the measure, the stature, and which belongs to the fullness of Christ. You see, the passive voice that's used here in this established indicates it's God that will establish the believer. God will build you up as you stay in the Word of God, as you stay in that thanksgiving. Because when you're thanking God, you're thinking of Him. One man put it this way, said this, having such a firm foundation for faith based on walking in Christ is imperative to a healthy Christian life. And then in Jude 1:20, he says, but ye beloved, building up yourselves in your most holy faith, there's your faith, again, praying in the Holy Spirit. You and I need to be men and women of the Word, praying and with thanksgiving. We need to be talking to God. We need to illustrate the very message of God that He's given. So what's the first wall? It's we need to be commended to the Word of His grace. We can't spend too much time thinking about God. We need to be commended to the Word of His grace in prayer and thanksgiving. Turn to 1 Corinthians 14. Talking about gifts here, tongues and prophesying. And we've got to realize that there's two different definitions of prophesying here as used in context in Scripture. I believe both can be mentioned, can be inferred here, because he's talking to the local church in other verses we've already mentioned this evening. But a prophesying can be referred to two ways in a proper definition, foretelling and forthtelling. Foretelling is predicting. Forthtelling is proclaiming, preaching. And it's used in that here also. Look what it says in verse number 3. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comforts. That's why it's talking about speaking. Then he goes to an unknown tongue and prophesy, because he that prophesieth edifieth the church. But here he's saying, but he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification. So what is he saying here? It's the preaching of that Word of God that will edify and build you up so that you'll be strong when the storms of life come. Did you know it's not a mistake that he gave the local church and he gave the teaching and preaching of God's Word? That's what he says, it's for your edification. Well, let's see if that goes further any other place. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 8, for though I should boast somewhat more of our authority, there's the authority that Paul had, that God had given him, which the Lord hath given us. He says, God's given us that authority. And then he says that God has given us for, guess what the next word is? You tell me. Edification. He has given us the Word of God for edification. What's he doing? For them to be built up, for preaching to them. Not for destruction, So I should be ashamed. Paul observed that the authority derived from the Lord. He uses it not to destroy the church, but to build them up as they listen to the word of God. 2 Corinthians 13:10, we see the power then of that instruction. He says, therefore, I write these things being absent, lest being present, I should use sharpness according to the power which the Lord has given me to, and guess what the word next word is? Edification, not destruction. It's giving and preaching the word of God. So number one is commending yourselves to the word of God. The second wall is listening to the preaching of the word of God. And of course, applying that truth that will build up. You let it go in one ear, out the other, it's just not going to work. You've heard my illustration before of me talking to horses and preaching to horses. It went, and they were all listening. Their ears were up. Not one of them walked the aisle, though. Boy, they just sit there and kept chomping. They were dull of hearing. And in one ear, out the other. But here, what he's talking about, we need to listen to the preaching of the word of God, and it's for your edification. It's for the local church, yourself, and others. The edification to build up. You see, if we don't do that, and if we aren't being edified, what's the world around us going to see? That's what we're here for. And he says that that very position is for edification. And so we need to speak the truth. In order for them to be built up, they had to listen to what Paul was speaking. In order for you and I to be built up, we need to listen to the preaching of the Word of God. Honestly, I will tell you, one of the reasons why when I jog, I listen to preaching instead of music. Nothing wrong with listening to music, when you're, especially if you want to run faster. I do it for two reasons. Number one, I just want to for my own life to help me. I need it because I'm not that smart, but men can teach me. And then I do it because I know not only I, but that's what God's given us for me, that I might be able to stand. There's certain things that preaching through the years, different things that listening to that preaching, the Word of God, has helped me from wrong decisions because of the preaching of His Word. And so I'll be able to stand stronger by commending myself to the Word of God and His grace and the listening to the preaching of His Word. Turn to Ephesians 4:29. Ephesians 4. Verse 29, another familiar portion of Scripture. And we see the Scripture says this: let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Here's the contrast. First of all, it says, don't let anything proceed out of your mouth. No corrupt communication. The word corrupt is talking about foul, or it's used of rotten fruit and vegetables and spoiled vegetables. Proceed out of your mouth. There's communication. So there's a communication here. He says, don't let foul or corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. But notice what he says. Now here's the difference. Don't let corrupt out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. We need to produce, edify words that will edify, so that it will produce grace to the hearers, that will help the hearers. In other words, the word use there is a word that means, notice he goes negative, corrupt communication, then he goes positive, but that which is good for the use of edification, using our speech for the need of the moment, literally. It would be this. It's literally edification according to the need. For you see that this word use means suitable for the occasion. You and I need to use words that are suitable for the occasion that will build up and minister grace unto the hearers. No matter what we're doing, we could have a problem with someone when we're having that, when we're using our words, we need to use them that are good for the building up of the use that are proper for that. That will minister grace unto the hearers. That will build up the body of Christ. That will build you up. And so, the third wall that we need to have is we need to communicate to minister grace to the hearers. That will edify. We need to communicate that will minister grace to the hearers. And so, having put on the new man, we have new standards as conversation so that our words will be a blessing. We need to build up by our words. Did you know the more you communicate using words that are suitable for the occasion, that will build another person up? And guess what? You know, the storms that come, it will sure help even while you're taking care of those storms. Listening to the preaching of the Word of God, knowing to be commended, depositing yourself, knowing the Word of God. And then lastly, look up in Ephesians 4:11 while you're there. And he gave some apostles and some prophets, some evangelists, some pastor teachers. And here's what he gave them for. For the perfecting of the saints, the mending, equipping of the saints, which in return are to tell the saints, so the saints will do the work for the ministry, and that will edify the body of Christ. What is he saying here? He's talking about gifted men. In essence, he's saying, gifted men prepare God's people. God's people then work for the ministry. Work, serve. If people are not work serving, a couple things can be. One, the pastor, the leader, the preacher is not teaching them. Number two, they're just saying no. The job is for me to equip you with the word of God, the word of his grace. And then that you do the work of the ministry along with me. And that's where the local church will be edified then. We'll be built up. We'll grow. We'll harmonize. We'll be in unity. And so we need to serve God. The fourth wall is just serve God. So we commend ourselves to the word of his grace. We listen to the preaching of the word of God. We communicate to minister grace to the hearers. And we serve God. In fact, not only gifted men prepare God's people for the work, but in that serving, they must be giving men. Giving to neighbors is what builds you up. Listen to what Paul says to the church at Rome. He says to them, let every one of us, who's he talking about? People at Rome, those that are with Paul and himself. And he says, as he writes, let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For his good. We need to, every one of us, please our neighbor. Gifting. Giving. There's gifted people teaching and giving people to please our neighbor. Whatever is good for edification. If that will build them up and help, then you build them up. You help. You serve. And what does that show? That shows that little four-letter word, doesn't it? Love. Did you know what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 1? It talks about knowledge can puff up. I know all this. But he says this, love edifies. Love is what builds up. Let every one of us please his neighbor for good edification. And then it says, now touching the things offered to idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love edifieth. So as we serve God, he reminds the church at Colossae, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, not unto men. Knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. You serve the Lord Christ. The fourth wall. Storms come. You serve God. You know that even when you're serving God and there's a storm in there, you're just going to have to put up with and realize that you've been right. You're standing where it needs to be. People are going to disagree, but you stand where needed to be because you are serving and doing it. You'll be strong as you commend yourself to God's word. You listen to the preaching of God's word because someone's going to come along and tell you something, or they're going to say something that you're going to catch. That's going to help you. This morning, I prayed this during the Sunday school lesson, and Dave said something towards the end, a phrase of different things. He was speaking on Ruth and different things they said, and I'm going, thank you, Lord. There's it. That's it. We've got to realize that I serve Jesus Christ. And I listen to that. That's going to build up. That I might communicate to minister grace unto the hearers. I watch my tongue. I communicate right. For the situation, we communicate differently in different situations. At Christmas time, we are different in our communication to our children than we are when they just stole the cookie out of the cookie jar that you just told them they couldn't have. But yet the same thing is being edified, because you need to use those words for edification that will build them up as we speak the truth in love. And then we need to serve God, because love, serving, remember what love is? Giving and not expecting anything else in return. So you'll be built, then you will be what? The Bible says those that did what he said, Jesus called wise. He called wise because they were building on the right foundation. And we need to build a commendation, commending ourselves to the word of God, his grace. Spending time in God's word, in prayer and thanksgiving. Listening to the preaching of his word. Communicating to minister grace to the hearers. And serving God because you serve the Lord Jesus. I trust this evening that's been a help to you as it's been a help to me. All it is going through scripture, the word edification of what God purposed it for, and what we then need to be practicing in his command that he says, let all things be done unto edifying. Our dear Heavenly Father, thank you.